half spider, half
crocodile,
a spider-dile, or croc-a-eider, a croc-eider, a spy-croc, dang, I don't know what you'd call it, because ain't nobody seen it before to give it a name. I'm telling you, Sheriff, I saw it right in front of me, coming out of that there water.
All right, Merle. And how many beers had you drank before seeing this thing?
Oh, okay, I know what you're thinking. Old Merle couldn't have seen a monster because he was 15 Bud Lights deep in the drunk pool. Well, I won't drunk when I saw it, Sheriff. That's right, Mr. Smarty Pants. Doc said I couldn't drink yesterday on account of me being on antibiotics, on account of this foot fungus I got. Look!
Merle lifted his foot up off the ground and grabbed it with his good hand. Sheriff Hal Winston looked away.
Get that fungus out of my face, Merle. Don't nobody want to see that.
Sorry, Sheriff. Just making a point, Saul. You said I was blitz, and I'm telling you I won't.
Sheriff Hal took a little breath and turned back around to stare at the lake. Lake, to be exact. It was beautiful, especially on a hot summer day like today. Merle interrupted the moment of serenity by limping up next to Sheriff Hal and whispering behind him.
You can sense it, can't you, Sheriff? The beast, swimming in them waters, waiting to strike.
Sheriff Hal spun around, agitated.
Dang it, Merle! Don't you know I got better things I could be doing? I mean, how many times are you going to make me come out here for some cockamamie story that don't got a lick of truth?
Sheriff, I'm telling you, I saw it right there. Why would I lie about that?
I don't know, Merle. Same reason you lied that you saw a UFO last July 4th.
I did see a UFO last July 4th. Got the Polaroid on my wall to prove it.
A Polaroid that you drew a UFO onto!
Sheriff Hal was now walking away as Merle limped behind him, trying to keep pace.
Only because you couldn't see it good in the picture, so I accentuated the shadows! Artistic license, Sheriff, come on!
Merle, the next time you interrupt my day for nonsense, I'm gonna toss you in the back of my car and haul your foot fungus ass downtown.
I tried being nice, but that don't work. So I guess good cop is going to have to make room for bad cop. You hear me, Merle?
Sheriff Hal opened his door and sat inside as Merle stood nearby.
What are you saying, Sheriff? And I'm making it up. You know the government dumped all them toxins in the lake back in the 40s. I got the newspapers to prove it.
A newspaper? Which you wrote?
Well, someone's got to let the people know, Sheriff. The truth ain't nothing truer than the truth.
Sheriff Hal reached out for his door and tugged it as Merle stepped backwards with his one good foot, starting to open his mouth until he heard that soft engine turn on. He watched Sheriff Hal back up and then turn left to head on down the dirt road away from the lake past a row of trailers. When Hal's cop car kicked up enough dust behind him that he was no longer visible, Merle turned to look back towards the lake. It was so serene, so calm, so welcoming. So why was Merle jogging away in a panic towards his trailer? It was a smooth, quick ride home. Most rides around Wilsonville were smooth and quick. Wilsonville, Alabama, a small, picturesque town located in Shelby County, about 30 miles south of Birmingham. With a population of around 1,000 residents, it embodies the essence of a tight-knit rural community. The town sits near Lay Lake, which provides both scenic beauty and recreational opportunities like fishing, boating, and water sports. This proximity to the lake contributes to the town's relaxed, outdoor-oriented atmosphere. Though Wilsonville is small, it has a welcoming feel with local businesses, churches, and schools serving as the heart of the community. The town's architecture reflects its long history, with many buildings showcasing a mix of older, traditional structures and newer homes. The pace of life here is slow and easygoing, making it a peaceful retreat for those seeking a quieter way of life away from the bustle of larger cities. Wilsonville is also known for its strong sense of community, with residents frequently coming together for local events, celebrations, and volunteer efforts. The town's natural beauty and connection to Lay Lake make it an ideal spot for people who love outdoor activities, while its small-town charm and friendly atmosphere make it a wonderful place to call home. Everyone knows your name, and you're glad they do. It makes you feel connected. Unless you're Merle. Or one of the other folks living in TP, Trailer Park Row. The R has been left out because TP sounds more appropriate. You get it. Seeing as how the residents have been deemed crazy, trash is the less mean way of categorizing them. in that Southern charm kind of way. There's only about 25 people living in TP, yet the tight-knit community that Wilsonville is known for doesn't extend their arms quite that far. Other than the occasional trip into town for groceries and odd materials, the residents of TP stay isolated. It works best for those inside and out. Half spider, half crocodile. I'd ask if you can believe that, but I know you can. Let me tell you about Merle. That dingbat has taken a year off my life. I'm telling you, Curly Sue, TP will be the death of me. Listening to Sheriff Howe vent about Merle was his deputy, Susie, lovingly called Curly Sue because she had hair as a child that was not curly. But her mom loved the idea of having a little girl named Curly Sue, so the name stuck. Still, at the age of 22, still without curly hair. Nearly 20 years younger than Howe. Despite her age and gender, she held her own amongst the elder statesmen in her profession, including Hal, who saw her as a daughter, because she was.
Dad, be nice to Merle. He doesn't have anything. That's why he tells you these stories, to get a little attention. You know how lonely it is living in TP?
Sheriff Hal tossed his hat onto his desk as he sat down, kicking his legs up next to the hat and wiping the sweat off his brow. Whew, it was a hot summer day, even for Wilsonville. His stories are getting more creative. I'll give him that. Better than that one he told me that one time. Hey, Betty, what was that story Merle told me that one time, way back when? Tilting her head back from the front reception desk was Betty, the oldest member of the tiny Wilsonville Police Department, who casually answered Hal's question in her deadpan tone. UFO snatched him up. Hal relayed the message right back to Curly Sue as if she couldn't hear Betty, even though she was closer to Betty than Hal was. UFO snatched him up, and then what? Want there more to the story, Betty? Betty casually tilted her head back into frame and casually said in her deadpan tone, they experimented on him in an intimate nature.
That's right, Hal exclaimed. Let me ask you, Curly Sue, if you traveled light years or however long it takes to get from that planet to our planet, would you experiment on Merle? I mean, does that make one lick of sense? The thought of it makes me shiver.
Intimate with Merle?
Hal sipped his coffee, which is cold.
Betty, why is our coffee so cold?
Betty tilted back and said, 'cause that's from yesterday. Hal seemed confused at first, as if his days were getting mixed up. Yesterday? Hal took a sniff before Susie took the cup out of his hand and dumped it in the trash.
I'll get you a fresh one, Daddy, even though you're supposed to be cutting back on the caffeine.
Susie was halfway out Hal's office before he responded by telling her, Your mother loves to overreact just because of one little heart attack. I barely felt it, Curly Sue. Susie was filling up a fresh hot cup as she responded with a minimal, mm-hmm. There was a call from nearby that Betty promptly picked up. Wilsonville Police Department, what's your emergency? Susie waited to hear where this conversation went. Wilsonville was not exactly a hotbed of action for local law enforcement, so Susie was nearly jumping out of her boots at the thought of a new case to solve. Or any case to solve, for that matter.
No, Miss Mayo, you cannot die from eating your own hair.
Susie made a face as if she had smelled something awful. She walked back towards her dad's office with a fresh coffee in hand. He had his feet kicked up still as he combed through the local paper, zeroing in on the sports section.
I think this is the year, Curly Sue. Alabama's gonna win it all.
You say that every year, Dad,
she said, placing the coffee down onto his WPD coaster.
Yeah, but this year, I mean it. Crimson Tide is finally gonna roll. Woo! Roll Tide!
You say that every year, too.
Hey, who was that calling?
Miss Mayo.
She eat her hair again?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, Curly Sue, if Merle won't be the death of me, it'll be that Miss Mayo.
How many times can you accidentally eat your own hair? It's like the air up in TP is made with stupidity.
Susie was getting anxious. She had so much energy and nothing to do with it.
Ain't there nothing going on today, Dad?
Hal spoke while keeping his eyes fixed on the sports section.
How about you go give Miss Mayo a buzz cut so she can stop eating her own hair?
Dad,
Susie said back to him, begging for a real answer.
All right, Miss Motor. Tell you what, how about you go station yourself by the lake parking lot?
Make sure there aren't any knuckleheads trying to drive home even though they're blind drunk.
Hell, Daddy, that's half the town. It's a summer Sunday.
Precisely my point, young lady. You want to wake up tomorrow and read about how some sweet old dog got run over by a drunk booze hound? Be my guest.
All right, then, Susie said, getting up and putting on her official WPD hat.
All right, then, Hal responded, turning his caffeinated eyes back to the sports section, before remembering to yell out in her direction, "And pick up some of them ice cream sundaes! Your mother loves sundaes on Sundays!"
It was finally getting dark. Parked under a shady tree with the air conditioning on, and it was still hot out. Susie was fanning herself with her hat. Hal, her daddy, was right, though. The drinking in the lake parking lot seemed to be a bit excessive today. Her presence was having a sobering effect on everyone who caught wind that she was waiting in the wings to see who was fit to drive and who was fit to, crash. Susie was waiting by the exit, talking to each driver as they pulled through. Didn't take more than three cars before she had her first no-go.
"How many you had tonight, Craig?"
"Yo, come on, Curly. You know I'm fine. Hell, you know better than anyone how fine I am."
Craig was smiling with his red glazed eyes, laughing from the passenger seat in the back seat were three of his friends. All four of them had been stars on the high school football team. None of them had been good enough to play in college. Needless to say, being a star in Wilsonville was not exactly a launch pad to greener pastures.
"Don't be getting fresh, Craig. I mean it."
"Oh, Susie Q, I'm just trying to make you smile." "Anyone making you smile these days?"
Susie bent down to peek in towards the other drivers.
"Ain't none of you sober enough to drive?"
The passenger side seat was nodding off. He didn't even hear her question. The two in the back looked each other up and down as if an intense glare could sober the other person up. It did not.
"I can't let you drive, Craig."
"No, all right then, Susie. How about you give me a ride? Scenario we're both, very familiar with. Ain't that right, Q?"
Susie was not flattered. Her high school romance with Craig was longer than she would care to admit. The cliche quarterback and cheerleader scenario. Heck, it was when she caught Craig cheating on her in the high school parking lot that she quit the cheerleading team and told her dad she wanted to be a cop. Craig would never be privy to this inspirational tidbit. Susie clearly wasn't in the mood to boost Craig's already inflated ego.
"Keys, Craig." "Oh, come on, Curly."
Before Craig could even say the word, "Sue," she was already reaching in and taking away the keys. There was a groan of frustration from the back seat, like children begging for more sweets.
"I'll radio your mother to come get you."
Susie hopped back into her nearby car and radioed the station. Craig tried to reason with her, but it was falling on deaf ears.
Susie, you're being ridiculous, girl. Come on. You're going to have everyone's mom come pick him up? That's half the town waiting behind me to go home. Come on, Q, be rational, woman. Oh, come on.
Susie was doing just that. Any car without a sober driver was told to leave their car in the parking lot. If they didn't have someone who Susie could call and pick them up, well, they'd just have to walk home. Nothing is too far from anything else in Wilsonville, so even by foot, most of these folks would get home in an hour. By the time night fell, there had to be at least 15 empty cars still in the lot. All of those folks had either been picked up or walked home. The only people left were the originals. Craig and his cohort.
"She ain't coming, Susie. You think I'm drunk? Ain't nobody drunker right now than my mama. You know how she gets on Sundays. Nobody swims deeper into the drunk pool than mama on a Sunday."
"Well, your feet work, don't they? Y'all can walk like everyone else did," Susie emphasized.
"My feet are right fine where they are, thank you,"
Craig said in his charming way. The passenger side seat was still being occupied by a loudly snoring former high school football star. Craig's two backseat buddies were now laying on the trunk, smoking cigarettes. Craig was the only one standing, right against the hood, in that effortlessly cool way that only Craig could.
"Susie Q, let me ask you."
I'd rather you didn't," she told him.
"How is it you're not taken? Wilsonville is not exactly a breeding ground for beauty, yet here you are. My, oh my, how thy wings of an angel deceive me."
"I ain't in the mood, Craig. Use your lines on one of them high school girls you're always running around with."
Oh, do I detect, jealousy?
Susie would have loved to mean it when she said no, but that was a lie.
She was jealous. Greg was her first and only love. Wilsonville was slim pickings when it came to romantic entanglements. She knew she could probably get him back if she wanted, but that would no doubt lead to more heartbreak. Everyone told her so, and she knew they were right. Yet, as much as she tried to find another partner, none of them held a candle to Craig.
Cannonball!
The passed-out passenger woke up in a fury. He tore off his t-shirt, ripped off his towel, and went darting straight towards the lake at a frantic clip. Craig and his cohort laughed as he ran.
Don't be swimming in the...
Susie stopped. She didn't have the energy. That drunken fool wanted to go swimming at night. While drunk, how was she going to stop him? Go in and drag him out of the water? No thanks. He'd do his little act for a couple laughs and then come back out. Wet and hopefully sober. The two backseat buddies were inspired by this streak of cannonball, so they followed suit. They also tore off their clothes and ran right into the same water as their friend had. Craig was amused. Susie was not. She was tired, and this was only going to extend her babysitting duties.
Hey, cheer up, Susie Q. It's summer. Ain't no reason for frowning. Ain't that one of your lines?
It was. She'd used that line on Craig after they lost a close game back in junior year. Worked back then, but not so much now.
How'd this be? I'll get them out of the water so you can go on home. On one condition.
Susie's eyes nearly rolled out the back of her head. She knew what the catch was.
Let me guess, Craig. I go out with you. See?
Craig said.
That's why you're my girl. Ain't nobody smarter than Susie Q.
She had nothing to lose by saying yes. Worst case, she can just blow it off and not go out with him. Best case, she actually gives him another chance, which could lead to, well, who knows? For the moment, the thought of being able to go home sounded pretty dang good.
All right then, Susie told him. Get them knuckleheads out of there and we can see a movie.
Craig put his hands up to indicate the sign for a touchdown, and then he actually said it.
Ooh, touchdown! Touchdown!
She desperately tried not to smile. She even turned her face away from Craig so he wouldn't see her smile. But he could tell. She was smiling. He turned and started walking towards the lake. He didn't get more than 20 feet before he stopped. One of the cohorts was already walking back.
Hey, get them other two and let's get on out of here.
There was something odd about the way he was walking. Susie could see it. It was too dark for specifics, but there was definitely something odd. Craig could sense it, too.
Hey, Freddy, what's wrong, big dog?
When his body walked under the lamppost, they finally saw it. His arm, his right arm, was gone. Freddy, the formerly passed-out passenger, was covered in blood. Susie's eyes lit up as Craig darted right towards him. He knelt down and started to frantically ask him what had happened as Susie stood above.
Freddy, talk to me, big dog. What happened? You got bit? We're going to get you help, all right?
Freddy's body was now shaking, convulsing. There were puncture holes on his chest, eight of them, in a circle. The circles were black, and pus was beginning to leak out of each one as Freddy began to spit up blood. His eyes were turning yellow as blood leaked out of his ears.
Call for help, Susie! Call for help!
Susie turned around and darted back towards her car. She turned on the engine so the headlights were aimed right at Craig, who was still kneeling down next to Freddy. She picked up the radio microphone and tried to remain calm as she talked.
Betty, I'm at the lake. Something bit Freddy. He's bleeding real bad. Send an EMT, quick.
She could sense it before she even saw it. Craig was standing up, staring ahead. She tried to see what he saw. What was it, one of his other friends? Had they come out of the water too?
Susie got out of the car and tried squinting through the darkness at whatever it was that seemed to be approaching off in the distance. She still couldn't see what it was.
Susie?
Craig was frozen, scared. Two things he had never been before. Not in all the years that she'd known him. He'd always been the hero. Cool, calm, collected. That was Craig. And then she saw it. The thing that had turned him inside out. It was a crocodile, slowly crawling towards him. Susie began to walk in the same direction, trying not to make noise. But the closer she got towards Craig and the croc, the quicker she realized this was not just a crocodile. It had
legs. 8 legs. 4 on each side. And the legs seem to be covered in some kind of fur. Thick, black fur. And the eyes of the croc, there were more than 2. They looked like bubbles of 4 on each side of its forehead. It was hissing. Pus was dripping out of its mouth as it showed its long, jagged fangs. Craig turned backwards. He had tears in his eyes. Susie! Before she could even scream for him to run, it was too late. The monster was on top of Craig. It ripped Craig's throat out while simultaneously puncturing holes through his entire body. Susie took out her gun and unloaded the full clip while charging directly towards it. As the bullets screamed through the night towards this unholy beast, it began to shriek and sprinted off back into the water. When Susie got to the sand, it was gone. All she saw were pieces of a body. Bodies, to be precise. Bits of a leg, chunks of an arm, slices of a face, washing in and out of shore as this serene little lake continued to play under the moonlight. Susie took one quick glance around and then ran back to Craig. What was left of him? The beacon of hope in Wilsonville now looked like a pizza that had been left out in the sun. Susie was so horrified she couldn't even cry. She just fell to her knees and took his hand, the one piece of Craig that was still intact. She tried to feel for a pulse. There was none. Everything she knew and loved about Craig was gone. Half croc, half spider.
I know what I saw, Daddy.
The parking lot had turned into a crime scene. The minuscule amount of Wilsonville Police Department employees had all come here to make sense of something that made none at all.
I ain't saying you didn't see something, Susie. It's just, well, you know how this sounds, right?
Susie was currently being attended to by an EMT worker while Hal stood by. The rest of the force was combing the parking lot and the surrounding lake for any semblance of clues.
Yes, Daddy, I know, trust me. But all I can do is tell you what I saw. So that's what I'm doing. I'm telling you what I saw, and what I saw was...
Hal delicately finished that sentence.
Half croc, half spider.
The massacre at Lay Lake. All of Wilsonville was talking about the same thing. Rumors spread like wildfire. You couldn't take a crap in Wilsonville without the whole town knowing what letter your turd looked like. Susie went from apple the town's eye to nut job, who might have killed her ex-boyfriend and his 3 buddies as payback for getting dumped back in high school. Even Hollywood came a knocking. Talk about salivating. Murder at a place called Lay Lake? It was too perfect. A town that had never existed before now had a bullseye on its back. There were Los Angeles producers mingling about town, trying to soak in inspiration so they could make money off this small-town tragedy. But their question was the same as everyone else's question. What the hell happened at Lay Lake? Hal didn't know what to do. There was no evidence to suggest his daughter did anything wrong. Forensics couldn't make a lick of sense out of anything. They had to call in a real forensics team from Birmingham, seeing as how they had an actual forensics team that could do, well, forensics. Burmy, as locals referred to it, had the same conclusion. These stab wounds on the victims, the saliva, blood, mucus, skin, they weren't human. They weren't, well, what were they? That was the question on top of all the other questions. On the plus side, Hal thought, his daughter was most definitely innocent. His sweet little girl, whom he adored more than anything in this world. She was not a cold-blooded, savage murderer. No, she was anything but that. That was the positive side. Her name was cleared, even though she'd spend the rest of the summer either in her room or roaming around Lay Lake at night, waiting to get vengeance on this beast that she claims took the life of her only love. On the negative side, he couldn't believe this could be true. He couldn't believe this almost more than he couldn't believe that his daughter had witnessed something so heinous. No, what he couldn't wrap his head around more than anything else? Maybe, just maybe, Merle wasn't crazy.
Your eyes are the sun shining bright, but my heart is an endless ocean. The waves crash in gentle motion, yet we drift apart in the night. Your eyes, my sun, where have they gone? My heart's an ocean, still and forlorn. As the stars kiss the sky so high, I search for your warmth day and night. But shadows grow long in the twilight, and whispers of love fade with the tide. Your eyes, my sun, come shine once more.